الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد. وعن عمر بن أبي سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يليك. متفق عليه. عمر بن أبي سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to me that take the name of Allah, eat with your right hand, and eat from that side which is close to you. Like I mentioned in the last dars, the Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was the son of Umm Salama, and the husband of Umm Salama was Abu Salama, who passed away. And after his demise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This is why her son Umar came under the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says that once we were sitting down to eat as a family, and my hand was going in the plate all over the place, like how the children have a habit of doing. So it was going on this side, on the other side. I was eating from all sides in my plate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he saw this, he said to me, Ya Ghulam, O child, Sammillah, take the name of Allah, وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ, eat with your right hand, and eat from that side which is close to you. Now the mistake that Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was making was that his hand was going all over the place in that plate which was between the family that was sitting down to eat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam could have just said, Ki kul mimma yaleek. O child, eat from that side which is close to you. But when somebody is stopped and when somebody is told to do something in front of everyone, then sometimes this becomes a means of his disgrace. And he will become shame of the mistake that he has made. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a master of psychology. He didn't study, he didn't go to any college or university, but divinely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so much understanding that he was a master in the field of psychology. So he didn't address the child by saying that kul mimma yaleek, eat from that side of the plate. First he mentioned another two things. Sammillah wa kul bi yameenik wa kul mimma yaleek. Take the name of Allah. And then he said that eat with your right hand. Then he said that eat from that side which is close to you. The first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this hadith is Sammillah, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Imam Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala is trying to establish under this chapter, Kitabu Adab al-Ta'am, that the first adab and etiquette of eating is that you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person was to think that this sustenance, this food that he is eating, or anything perhaps that he is using in his life, whether it is food that is he is eating, it is water that is drinking, or any other drink that he is consuming, anything that he is wearing, anything that he uses in his life, where does it come from? Who gives us these things? If a person was to sit down and think, then he will come to this conclusion that all these things that I'm using in my life comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the being who has given me all these things to use in my life, which I'm enjoying, I should start doing these actions with his name. I should take his name and start. So I build a special connection with that being who is doing a favor upon me. You might have noticed that you go to somebody's house to eat, you sit down on the dastarkhan and on the place where you are sitting down to eat, and the person tells you that the food has come from so-and-so person's house. So in reality, the other person is your host. You will find in your heart some sort of connection for that host and that person. And your heart will be in gratitude for the person who has hosted, the person who has cooked this food. And you will feel that connection, muhabbat, love, and affection, that connection with that person. And if he keeps doing this, he keeps giving you da'wat and he keeps sending food to your house, then you will slowly, slowly build a very, very strong connection. Why? Because now you are constantly remembering him. If we continue to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who grants us so many blessings in our life, we will also build a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will find the same love and same connection in our hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because day and night, every step of our life, in fact, every breath that we take, we find that the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are bestowed upon us. We don't think that the food that we are eating, how amazingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares this food, and the food comes to you in front of you to eat. Shaykh al-Hadith Marana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu has mentioned in Fadail al-Sadaqat that once a pious person gave da'wah to few people in his house. When they sat down on a dastarkhan, one person took a roti and he started looking at different rotis to see that which one is burnt and which one is raw, like how it is generally a habit of some people that they check beforehand so they know which roti to eat and which one to avoid eating. So this person did the same. When the pious person saw this person doing this, the pious and the saint said to this person that stop doing this and put the roti down, because you don't know that each and every single roti and bread that you have in front of you is a great, great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you ever think how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared this roti and bread, and now it is cooked and it is placed in front of you so you can sit down and consume this roti? And the pious person said to him that if you think about it, the roti that is cooked in front of you goes through approximately 360 stages. Then it reaches you. Because a person thinks that it starts from a grain. So a farmer starts everything. He works on the ground and he plows and he waters it. He puts fertilizer. Then the grain is put inside the ground. Then because of the heat, clouds are made, then the rain comes down, then a small plant comes out, and then it goes through so many different stages. So I was saying that if you think about these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after all, when you are sitting down to eat your food, this is also a great, great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why you should take the name of Allah and start eating. And even if you look at this one blessing of eating, my brothers and elders, within this one ni'mat and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many other blessings. Because one blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you food to eat. And then He gave you taste as well. It is possible that you have food in front of you, but it's not tasty. You're not feeling that desire and you're not feeling that inclination to eat that food. It's so possible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you food, and the food is also tasty. And so also He has given you this food with a lot of honor and respect. You didn't have to go out and beg for food, like some people have to do this. You didn't have to go and beg other people for money, and then you went to buy your food, and you're eating your food. No, Allah gave you food, it's tasty, and it came to you with a lot of respect and honor. And now you're eating this food. And then another blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are feeling hungry and you find this inclination towards eating this food. This is also a great blessing. Because if you have food and it is tasty and it came to you with a lot of respect and honor, but if you are not hungry, then you will not be able to eat this food. Some people, they go through such illnesses that they don't find hunger in their life. They're not able to eat. They have everything. They have food. It's tasty. It came with honor. But hunger is not there. They're not able to eat. Another great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you're able to eat this food with a lot of ease and afiyah. You're sitting down, you're eating this food with afiyah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then as soon as you sit down to eat, then there might be someone calling you saying that there is so and so person who has become sick and he's in the hospital and we need you immediately. Now you're eating this food very, very quickly and you're not eating with afiyah, with ease. Majority of the times, we eat our food with afiyah, with ease. So within one blessing, food and eating, there are so many other blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we should initiate eating food and consuming food with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I mentioned, that you can pray Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or you can pray Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. But the best thing that is mentioned in the most authentic hadith is Bismillahi wa barakatillah. This is how you should initiate eating. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was that before he would do anything, he would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say Bismillah, and then he would start doing that work, and he would start that task that he has in front of him. And in different things of life, he has encouraged us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon its initiation. Perhaps he says that kullu amrin dhi balin lam yubda bi bismillahi fa huwa akhta. That work, that task which is initiated without the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reach its completion. Or even if it reaches its completion, it will not reach its perfection, because you didn't start this with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has encouraged us that whatever you do in life, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that before you sacrifice an animal, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, only eat that animal upon which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to recite this dua when we are traveling in a ship. Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. The ship is running and this ship will stop according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ship is running, and through the barakah of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ship will stop. Before you go to sleep, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, it is with your name that I'm going to sleep, and it is with your name I'm going to wake up in the morning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, before you close the lid of your bottle, أَوْكِ سِقَاءَكَ وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ اللَّهِ, then close your lid, and while closing the lid, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, take the name of Allah. Before you turn off the light, before going to sleep, وَأَطْفِ مِصْبَاحَكَ وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ اللَّهِ, and turn off your light while taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are covering your utensils, this is also a sunnah, which is mentioned in the hadith, that before you go to sleep, make sure you cover your utensil. Every single utensil should be covered. Nothing should be uncovered. Because it comes in the hadith that the utensil which is not covered at night, and people go to sleep during the night, a lot of calamities descend from the heavens and it goes inside that utensil. And if you use that utensil without washing it in the morning, then that calamity, you will come into your life. This is a simple hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if somebody was to practice upon this, he will be saved from a lot of difficulties that he faces in his life. Even if it's one miswak or one pen or pencil that you place across the utensil, but try to cover it. Try to cover it with something. So before you cover it, say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خَمِّرْ إِنَاءَكَ وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ اللَّهِ خَمِّرْ إِنَاءَكَ وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ اللَّهِ. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every way, in every step of our life, whatever we do, we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the continuous habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions in the hadith that أغلق بابك واذكر اسم الله فإن الشيطان لا يفتح بابا مغلقا ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He says that while closing your door at night, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then close your door. Because if you close your door with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Bismillah will be such that shaitan will not be able to open these doors. He will not be able to enter your house. This is why when you're leaving your house, when you're entering your house, take the name of Allah. When you're leaving your house, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When you are entering the house, Bismillah walajna wa Bismillah kharajna wa ala Allah rabbina tawakkalna. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you leave your house upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be safeguarded from a lot of difficulties. If you enter your house with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan and the effects of shaitan will not be able to come in your house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a husband goes close to his wife, he should say, Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaitana wa jannib shaitana ma razaqtana. I take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, save us from shaitan and save the child that you will bless us from the effects of shaitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if somebody was to recite this dua and he goes close to his wife, and as a result, if she conceives and the child comes to this world, insha'Allahul Aziz, for the rest of his life, shaitan will not be able to do anything to this child. Subhanallah, such a great, great, great benefit mentioned in this hadith. Imagine for the future of our loved ones and our beloved children, if we just pray, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will only take you not more than 3 seconds, then this will safeguard their entire future. Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaitana wa jannib shaitana ma razaqtana. So take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that before you go to the washroom, take the name of Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that sitru ma bayna al-jinn wa awrati bani adama idha dakhala al-kanif an yaqula bismillah. That the barrier between the private parts of the children of Adam and shayateen is saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If you don't say Bismillah, there is no barrier. If you say Bismillah, you take the name of Allah, then you go to the washroom, then there is a barrier between your private parts and shaitan. Shaitan will not be able to mislead you in the washroom too. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned in his tafsir that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, an eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says that if you wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards you from Zabaniya. Zabaniya are those angels which are appointed on Jahannam. These are 19 angels which are appointed to take care of Jahannam, the fire of hell. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that if you wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves you from these 19 angels, then pray Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, because the barakah of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim will be such that upon each letter of Bismillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from one angel who is appointed on the fire of Jahannam. And there are 19 letters in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillah seems very, very light, and it seems very insignificant to us, but the barakat and the benefits of Bismillah are such that, my brothers, if I was to mention the benefits and the stories behind praying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be shocked. There was a great muhaddith, Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala, who had a slave girl. And whenever Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala would sit down to eat, and the slave girl would prepare food for him, she would put poison in this food. And Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala would consume this food, but nothing would happen. The slave girl, after a few days, she was a bit confused that I put poison every day, but nothing happens to Abu Muslim Khawlani. So she puts poison in the food one day, and then she puts the food for Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala. She goes to see that does he consume the same food or he's consuming something else. Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala consumed the same food which the slave girl had poisoned, and she had placed poison in that food. So upon seeing the slave girl, Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala knew that there was something wrong, and the pious individuals who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are made aware by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot of those things which are hidden from a common person. So Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the slave girl is putting poison in my food. So he said to this slave girl that you are putting poison in my food, but nothing is going to happen to me. But let me ask you a question. Why do you do this? Why do you put poison in my food? She was honest. She said to Abu Muslim Khawlani that I asked for forgiveness. The reason why I was doing this is because you are old, you are weak, frail, and I have to do your khidmat. And now I'm getting old as well. I wish that you pass away so I am freed. And I am I no longer have to stay in your service. Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala said to the slave girl that you used to put poison in my food, but I used to consume it by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahi wa barakatillah. This is why nothing happened to me by consuming this food. But now, since this is your desire, I free you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib people, the person who was trying to kill him, the person who was trying to kill him, was trying to poison him, Abu Muslim Khawlani, without taking any revenge, he freed that slave girl. Once a king of Rome wrote a letter to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I get severe headache, can you please send me some medicine that I can take, or you send me some sort of wazifa or something to read which will cure my headache. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent one topi and one hat to the king of Rome. When this hat came to the king, whenever he would have a headache, he would wear this hat and the headache would go away. After a couple of weeks, the king was curious that how come whenever I wear this topi and this hat, my headache goes away. So he looked very, very carefully inside this hat, and he saw with inside portion of the hat that Umar ibn al-Khattab had written, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Due to the barakah of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his headache would go away. It is mentioned in Lama'at Sufiya that once a pious saint was giving a talk, and close to his lecture there was a house of a non-Muslim, and one girl was living in that house. When she heard the talk of this pious person, and in this talk, the pious person mentioned a lot of benefits of reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this girl accepted Islam. And after she accepted Islam, she informed her father, and the father became very, very angry, because the father was one of the close associates of the king of his time. So he thought that if people were to find out that my daughter has embraced Islam, that this will be something of shame for me and for also for the king. So I should come up with an idea through which I can trap my daughter, and somehow I can kill her and I can assassinate her. So he comes up with a plan, and he says that he says to himself that I will bring one ring from the royal treasure. So he brings that ring and he gives this ring to the girl. Girl takes it by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. She puts it in her pocket, and at night she goes to sleep. And after she went to sleep, the father goes to her room. The father goes to her room, and the father takes this ring and he throws it in the water outside, in the pond. And the plan was that next day I will ask for this ring from my daughter, and if she's not able to present it, then I will do something to her. I will kill her. And I will say to her that this was a king belonged to the royal treasure, so you will be punished for this, and she will be killed, and she will be hanged to death. Next morning, when this father was outside, one fisherman came and gave you fish to this person as a gift. So this person brought this fish as a breakfast, and he told his daughter to wake up. His daughter was extremely tired, but because it was the command of her father, she woke up and she made breakfast for her father, and very diligently, and she worked really hard preparing this breakfast and placed it in front of her father. The father sat down to eat, thinking that I will eat this breakfast, and after eating this, I will go and confront my daughter. After he finishes his breakfast, he goes to the daughter and says to her that, "Where is the ring that I gave you?" Thinking that the ring, I already threw it in the water. She says, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim," and she takes it out and gives it to the father. The father is shocked to see this, that where did this ring come from? Because this ring, I threw it in the water. And so he asks his daughter that, "Where did this ring come from? This is not the ring that I gave you." The daughter said, "No, this is the same ring that you gave me, and I placed it in my pocket with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I prayed Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This was the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had other plans. You had plans and Allah had another plan. And you threw that ring in the water, and it so happened that a fish swallowed that ring, and the fish that the person fisherman gave you, you brought it home. I cut the fish and it came out of the fish's stomach. This is that same ring." This is the barakah of saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Muhaddis Ad-Dahalvi Rahmatullahi Alayh. I will end with this last story. He mentioned in his Tafsir Azizi, that when Nuh Alayhi Salatu Wasalam gave da'wah to his people, and we all know that they rejected his da'wah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a strong flood and storm upon the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam took few people and few animals with him in the boat, the ark of Nuh, which is the famous story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, even Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, due to the high waves, he was scared that even the ship and the ark will also drown. So he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, "Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha." And Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Muhaddis Dahlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the historians write that due to the barakah of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And the Mufassirin mentions that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his people were saved from the strong storm just because Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you ponder over this dua, it is not even complete Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He only said Bismillah. Bismillahi majreha wa mursahi. He only said a portion of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The Mufassirin say that if this is the barakah of one portion of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, can you imagine the barakah of saying full Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? So let us all go with this intention today, that before we start doing anything, we will inshallah take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and initiate our work and our task. Whatever it is, we will take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one hadith mentioned in Durr Manthur, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, or Anas ibn Malik, I can't exactly recall the narrator. One of them narrates that أَغْفَلَ النَّاسُ عَنْ آيَةٍ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that people are heedless of one verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this verse is such that it was not revealed to anyone except Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhi wa salatu wa salam. And this verse of the Quran is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So let us make this intention that inshallah we will take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we start anything. And also the discussion we are doing right now is eating. So before eating, we will also take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, or Bismillahi wa barakatillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. It is possible that from next week there will be no Darsi Hadith because of the month of Ramadan. And if the condition remains the same, if the pandemic is not over and this restriction is not over, then we will continue Dars of Hadith after the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. The first portion of this Hadith I have explained. I still have to explain the next two sentences, or the nasihat and the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you can say the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. There are a lot of benefits and so much knowledge within Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you must have seen, that I'm only able to discuss small portions, and it takes half an hour, 45 minutes, sometimes 1 hour. There's so much ulum, so much knowledge. It's a big, big ocean. Until the Day of Judgment, the scholars and the people, the experts in this field, will continue to dive in the ocean of Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will continue to take out pearls from this ocean. So let us all connect ourselves with the Book of Allah, with Quran, and also with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we get the barakat of these two things. And in reality, these are the only thing, two things, which we have to refer to when it comes to living our life, because end of the day, these are the only two sources of guidance for us as a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.